Our first guest today is legendary former Imagineer Tim Delaney. Tim, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
I had an idea to redo the Energy Pavilion. So this was a high-speed flying ride that went into the inner world. It went to the nano world, and you see, we compress you in. And it was a ride that flew through that whole building. And I came down here and looked at the Energy Pavilion, and that building is enormous.
We have Don Dorsey and Mark Nichols.
I had brought a short clip to show you of what the Millennium might have been at Epcot had things gone according to the original plan. And this is what we call the crane show. When I saw this, I thought, I'll just wait this out.
So the tank is, it's 24 feet deep, it's 200 feet in diameter. Mm-hmm. The tank holds 5.5 million gallons, and there's another million gallons in the life support system. It was pretty complex. But it made a great show. And we got a restaurant.
This is News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com, and here now are the top Disney park stories from around the world for October 28th, 2022. Bob Chapek discussed the fans, reservation systems, and more of the Disney parks at the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live conference on Wednesday. Introduced when the parks reopened in summer of 2020 amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, the system requires guests to make reservations for a specific Walt Disney World or Disneyland Resort theme park. Guests must have valid theme park admission to make a reservation, which allows for planning ahead, but also potentially limits guests who buy last minute. Chapek claims the park passes, quote, guarantee a great experience for all guests. He referenced the pass system where the parks would close for capacity on particularly busy days, such as Christmas Day. If a, quote, family from Seattle visited Disneyland for 2 to 3 days and arrived at 10 a.m., they might have been turned away at the gate due to capacity limitations, he cited. Now the pass system requires advance reservations that guarantee admission for the date of the reservation with valid ticket media. According to Chapek, this creates the same, quote, unquote, magical experience for guests that visit on Thanksgiving and those who visit maybe on the second Tuesday of September. The system, he noted, is the same as other fixed capacity businesses such as airlines, hotels, and cruise lines. It gives guests, quote unquote, confidence that the parks won't be overcrowded. He also mentioned that it has added has the added benefit of maximizing shareholder value, which is probably what's most important to him. Of course, Chapek and Park Chairman Josh D'Amaro have continuously reiterated that the park pass system is here to stay, and this would, again, bolster that. There's a number of fallacies in these quotes, right? He's quoting Christmas Day. Yeah, I mean, but are you changing the whole way you operate the parks just to help 3 days a year? Because again, honestly, Disneyland and Magic Kingdom close at capacity 2 to 3 days a year, which typically were, in my lifetime, I remember 4th of July, Easter, and Christmas, New Year's Eve, maybe. And some years, Easter would be 2 hours in the afternoon. It wouldn't even be for the whole day. And then again, you also had, you know, three other parks you could go to, which the park pass system, there are often times where you can't book any park. I mean, ask the people at Disneyland Paris, the guests there. I mean, as an annual pass holder there, there is very rarely availability. It's insane. We have to stay on property when we go visit. It's the only way we can get park passes as annual pass holders to visit, even plan, and that's planning months in advance, mind you. So it's all nonsense, right? Just admit what it's for. Admit it's for staffing. Admit it's to maximize profits. You want to operate with the least number of cast and certain other things possible. to maximize profits per guest spending, right? That's what this is all about. Walt Disney said, there's all the land, you know, there's enough land here for all the things we could possibly imagine. He didn't then say at the end of it, oh, but maybe not so many people, right? That wasn't the plan. Also, the thing is to guarantee a great experience and to guarantee to people that the parks won't be overcrowded. What do you call them now? I saw someone tweet this, and it's absolutely how I feel. I don't remember queues spilling out into pathways before the last 4 or 5 years. And again, a little bit before COVID, right? This is not a new problem, mind you. This is a last several years problem because, again, the parks, and it goes back a little bit to the Eisner era, too. I'm not saying this is a new problem. The parks do not add capacity as time goes on that matches the rise in attendance. They have not added the amount of space, restaurants, restrooms, attractions, all of those things you need to add additional capacity to a park. They try to do that minimally because it costs money to do those things. And I see people like, ah, well, you can't staff more. They weren't staffing more pre-COVID. I understand now there are staffing issues, sure. But this is a problem that predates COVID. So if you want to believe this and believe big business that all these things are simply due to COVID and not changes they wanted to make before COVID, you're delusional. You're absolutely delusional. Because again, paid FastPass was developed, supposed to start in the spring of 2020, and then COVID happened. And then instead of testing it to attraction, they decided, well, I guess we might as well just put it at all of them. Just a lot of nonsense, a lot of nonsense. But moving on, when moderator and the Journal's editor-in-chief Matt Murray brought up the passion and occasional criticism of fans, occasional, Chapek noted that he ran the parks for 7 years, adding that he was, quote, quite familiar with how passionate they could be. I feel seen. If we move a churro cart 10 feet, it's a big deal. Yeah, we'll pretend that's the thing everyone was mad about. He then claimed that when Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout replaced the Tower of Terror, California Adventure, some complained, but the lines went from 30 minutes long to 6 hours long. Yeah, Tower of Terror was never popular. Yeah, and Guardians is never 30 to 60 minutes on a daily basis. Despite brushing off fan concerns, Chapek added that Disney tries to make everybody happy all the time, but he realizes that achieving that isn't really possible. He then said that his own personal feelings about Disney aren't important, but what is how people feel about the company. Well, Bob, look at social media. They're not all that positive. Previously, Chapek has been openly resentful about being called a bean counter by fans, and often just, we could just say he's been resentful of fans in general. That's been our experience, this company's experience with him over 7 years. Anytime we said something even remotely negative or critical, he'd come after us. But that's another story for another day. Of course, you'll remember he pulled out of an appearance at Destination D at Walt Disney World last year, citing a last-minute schedule conflict, which was the day before and not the day of the event, mind you. Rumors indicated he was afraid of being booed by those fans on stage, which did in fact happen at the D23 Expo a month ago. So turns out that was real. To mark National Veterans and Military Families Month in November, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds flew over the Magic Kingdom on October 27th. Before the flyover, we met some pilots on the ground. They were then moved to the roof of Casey's Corner to direct the flight path. The Thunderbirds, based out of Nellis Air Force Base, are a group comprised of 6 F-16 Flying Falcons assigned to the 57th Wing. The flyover took place at approximately 9:30 a.m., and they made 2 passes over the park, first just flying straight over Cinderella Castle and down Main Street. On the second pass, they split off in a maneuver inspired by fireworks. You can watch the video of the flyover right here on our channel. It's pretty cool. Let there be light. New themed lampposts have been installed near the entrance of Tron Light Cycle Run in Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. The curved lampposts are in the courtyard area between the Tomorrowland Light and Power Company and the coaster near the elevated walkway. They're silver with small white sections pointing down at the top. These two sit in one of the courtyard's larger planters. And a few posts also line the path that will lead under the elevated walkway to Storybook Circus in Fantasyland. Most of the courtyard has been paved, and crew members continue to pave the Storybook Circus path, and trees were recently planted in some of the planters and behind the walls that will separate Tron from the Tomorrowland Speedway. There's fresh grass on the ground, too, around some of the trees. Permanent railings have also been installed around most of the elevated walkway, with wide silver posts every few feet. It looks like it's getting there. I mean, it's still spring of next year, but it's getting there. A Mr. Toad popcorn bucket is crashing into Walt Disney World on November 1st. Disney Park shared a TikTok video of the bucket being uncovered in the pet cemetery of the Haunted Mansion, where there's, of course, a grave dedicated to Mr. Toad. The bucket is shaped like Mr. Toad's red motor car, with Toad himself sitting inside. There'll be a limit of one mobile order per day for two buckets while supplies last. It seems it'll only be available via mobile order. The Mr. Toad dome cake will return, this time at Big Top Treats. It'll be exclusive to those who purchased a Mr. Toad popcorn bucket, implying this is where the bucket will also be available. And though Disney's wording was unclear, it seems the cake will not be a complimentary gift, but something you could purchase in addition to a popcorn bucket. How weird. A new photo pass magic shot featuring Mr. Toad driving past guests in Fantasyland will be available near Storybook Circus, despite the released image we're showing you now, where it's right behind Cinderella Castle. Mr. Toad, of course, is from The Wind in the Willows, a 1908 novel by Kenneth Graham, and is featured in Disney's 1949 animated film, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. He was the star of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at Walt Disney World, still at Disneyland Park. The ride was also an opening day attraction again at Magic Kingdom, but closed in 1998 for the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. There will be two new food studios at this year's Epcot International Festival of the Arts. It'll take place from January 13th through February 20th. Modern, which is located near Test Track, will feature avant-garde menu items. The other new studio will be Figment's Inspiration Station in the Odyssey, which is art, food, and little sparks of magic, delivering treats and beverages bursting with vibrant colors and flavors. The festival's dates were announced just earlier this week as well, and more details will be announced, including the full list of food studios, very soon. Following a short absence, the Mickey and Globe figure has returned to the spire of the Crossroads of the World at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's once again spinning, which is great. It's at the entrance of Hollywood Studios. Mickey and the Globe were probably removed for maintenance. It would make sense. This happened again in 2019. We're glad to see the mouse back in his rightful place. Showtimes have been changed for some upcoming performances of Fantasmic, the returning nighttime spectacular at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which will be back to the public on November 3rd. Fantasmic is still scheduled to perform at 8 and 9:30 p.m. from November 3rd through the 7th, and at just 8 p.m. from November 8th through the 13th. That's going to go great. Fantasmic was previously scheduled to be performed at 9 p.m. on November 14th through the 16th, but will now be at 8 p.m., and from November 17th through December 3rd, Fantasmic will be performed at 9 p.m. There are previously no showtimes listed for December 4th, but is now scheduled for an 8 p.m. performance on that day. It will return to 9 p.m. performances December 5th through the 25th, and Fantasmic will return back to 8 p.m. performances December 26th through January 6th. I really think they're going to need to add more shows. I'm shocked they haven't. The new look for Kona Cafe at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort has been revealed this morning. The restaurant does not open until November 1st. They're doing test meals, though. Very little remains of the previous look, with the style shifting to match the refurbishments done in the last few years at the hotel. Previously noted the addition of an awning to the front of the restaurant. The wavy fencing around the entrance has been replaced with a black mesh-like fence. And here is what the entrance previously looked like. Inside, the lighting fixtures have been replaced, and the ceiling features new Polynesian-style patterns. The new lighting fixtures resemble wicker baskets. The ceiling previously had no designs on it, and the lighting fixtures were wide, rounded, black, and yellow pieces. Remnants of the old style do remain in some places at Kona Island. The seating has all been replaced as well. Colorful tropical flowers have been added to the far wall, and the new chairs have green cushions, and the benches are a dark cream color with golden back cushions. You know, I love that old look. But honestly, I think this looks pretty nice. On October 6th, we reported that the fountain in front of the Lime Garage at Disney Springs suddenly broke. And at that time that it happened, Andrew, a WDWNT reader, informed us that the portion just simply fell off in front of him while he was standing there into the pool below. No one was touching the fountain at the time. There was no surfers or anything. But recently, we visited Disney Springs. We found that there is a scrim and scaffolding up now around the fountain. It's unclear if they're simply going to remove this or if they're fixing it behind this. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Tokyo Disney Resort has shared its first official image of Believe Sea of Dreams, the new nighttime spectacular set to debut on November 11th at DisneySea. The image was released earlier this week as the monthly wallpaper for November 2022 on the Tokyo Disney Resort website. The image appears to show Mickey, Minnie, Peter Pan, Wendy, and the Lost Boys on the Golden Ship Barge, Daisy on a separate raised platform, and dancers on one of the show's screen barges. In Believe, Sea of Dreams, Disney and Pixar friends remind dreamers to keep on believing and make their wishes come true. The show takes place on Mediterranean Harbor at Tokyo Disney Sea, where the waters are transformed into a sea of dreams, a place filled with wishing stars that appear whenever someone makes a heartfelt wish. The show features large boats gliding dynamically over the water's surface, bright lasers and searchlights illuminating the night sky, and for the first time ever, images projected on the walls of Tokyo Disney Sea's Hotel MiraCosta, surrounding half of the harbor. The performance space is further enhanced by the characters from Disney and Pixar films and the performances of dancers, allowing guests to feel as if they have stepped into the stories of beloved Disney friends. We, of course, will be there for the preview performances of that show, so stay tuned. As early as the 9th of next month, we will be bringing you that. I'll be going over there to check it out. The Oriental Land Company announced yesterday that Fantasy Springs, the massive new 8th port at Disney Sea, will officially open in the spring of 2024, and they released a new look inside the land as well as new concept art and the names of the individual lands inside the port. Frozen Kingdom includes both Arendelle and the North Mountain in the distance. Set between the first and second Frozen films, when Queen Elsa has embraced her magical power to control snow and ice, she has since opened the castle gates so guests can freely visit the kingdom. And located here will be a heartwarming attraction that tells the story of Elsa and her beloved sister Anna. And guests will board boats and experience the sisters' heartfelt journey while enjoying iconic songs from the film and encountering surprise thrills. Also located in this area will be a restaurant set inside the Arendelle Castle at the foot of the beautiful snow-capped mountains. By the way, this sounds a lot better than an overlaid kids' water play area, doesn't it? New drone footage released by the Oriental Land Company shows there's still work to be done on the land, pretty consistent with our latest construction report. Meanwhile, Rapunzel's Forest also features a boat ride themed to the film. The area will include an attraction that follows Rapunzel to the Lantern Festival and a restaurant inspired by the hideout of the humorous bands of thugs who appeared in the film, of course, the Snuggly Duckling. In the attraction, guests will board gondolas for a romantic boat tour of Rapunzel's best day ever as she journeys with Flynn Rider to the Lantern Festival. And countless flickering lanterns illuminate the attraction's climactic scene with Rapunzel and Flynn singing an iconic song from the film, building to an unforgettable finale. In the new drone footage, we see the flume and much of the work around the boat attraction is done, and along with Rapunzel's tower being nearly complete, there was even some water in the flume. Perhaps testing has already begun. Finally, there's Peter Pan's Neverland, which will be home to a massive e-ticket experience as well as Pixie Hollow-themed attraction. Visible are the mountains of Neverland, Captain Hook's ship, and Skull Rock. It's likely, again, the mountains, of course, house the giant e-ticket attraction where guests will fly over the jungles of Neverland into a battle with Captain Hook and his crew of pirates. Guests will join Peter in an adventure to rescue Wendy's younger brother, John, who has been kidnapped by Captain Hook. Guests board boats and follow the Lost Boys down a river. And when Tinkerbell sprinkles the boats with pixie dust, guests find themselves flying through Neverland on an unprecedented adventure that features iconic music and dynamic 3D imagery of the characters from the film. A second attraction immerses guests in the oversized world of Pixie Hollow, where Tinkerbell and her fairy friends live and work. The restaurant is inspired by the Lost Boys and their hideout, affording lovely views of Neverland that guests can enjoy while they dine. And we can see the Jolly Roger is pretty much complete in the drone footage, and a good amount of decoration is in place on the Neverland Mountains. The hotel is officially called Tokyo Disney Sea Fantasy Springs Hotel and is built around the magical fountain of Fantasy Springs. Paintings inside depict Disney princesses and motifs of flowers and grass that can be seen throughout the hotel, allowing guests to enjoy their hotel stay within the park while retaining the Fantasy Springs experience. The hotel is actually split into two categories, a deluxe type with 419 rooms and a luxury type with 56 guest rooms, offering the finest lodging experience at Tokyo Disney Resort. As we mentioned, much of the scaffolds are coming down around the hotel itself, with much work left on the interior. You can watch the new drone footage on our website or the latest construction update right here on our channel. I am beyond excited. This is, for those of you who think frozen statues in a kiddie pool is innovation, this is actual innovation. And this is the right way to do IP. This is IP, building IP-inspired attraction in the lands that shows a love for quality, right? It's very special. For the absolute latest Disney Parks news, head on over to WDWNT.com and follow us on your favorite social media platforms. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, The Vacationeer, the engineers of your next magical vacation. Sit back and let their team of vacation planning experts craft your family's next Disney trip. The best part, their services are free. Visit WDWNT.travel for details. This guy, The goat, Mickey Ghost, is not, he's not having a good day. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to like this video, subscribe to WDW News Today on YouTube for more great content, and click the bell for notifications. Also, hit select all notifications so you never miss an episode of the show. You can also support the entire team behind the show by joining the WDWNT Inner Globe Society at patreon.com/WDWNT. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss saying, enjoy the rest of your today. Have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Say goodbye. I can't see him. He's not sitting right. Just wave. Wave goodbye.
From WDWNT-TV, this is Park Center. Join us each week for news and discussion topics from the Disney and Universal theme parks around the world. We cover the stories in a quick, concise, and fun format, and then our panel breaks down and debates some of the biggest issues and what they mean for us, the parks fans. From the latest announcements to openings and delays to scandals and snacks and merchandise and more, we'll cover it all in 90 minutes. Join us live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube at WDWNT-TV, or watch episodes on demand anytime. You can also subscribe to the audio version of the show on your favorite podcast app.